needed to correct that right away. The man had cared for her himself while she was ill rather than leave her to the care of a servant, and he had treated her with nothing but kindness and concern since she'd first awoke. He deserved to know he was a good, attractive man, and that she felt lucky to be his wife. Clearing her throat, she said, "I find you very handsome, husband. I also like your kisses and touch." Swallowing, she continued bravely, "And the idea of you having your way with me sends shivers all through me and leaves me wanting." Much to Jetta's embarrassment, her admission at first seemed to make the man freeze. It made her wonder how their married life had been before the accident that had stolen her memories. Had she shunned him because of the scar? Or had he taken her possible shyness with her new husband for revulsion? Worried that she might have hurt him in the past, Jetta began to search her mind for memories that might clear up the matter for her. Determined to know what she'd done so she could fix it, she concentrated hard on the task, searching her mind and wincing as the effort immediately started her head pounding. She had just raised a hand to rub her pounding forehead when Ollie suddenly released her legs. Jetta gasped, thinking at first that he was dropping her, but it was only her legs Ollie released. Allowing them to drop, he caught her at the waist with both hands and lowered his mouth to hers. "Oh," she breathed just before his lips covered her own. The kiss was so passionate, demanding and all-consuming that Jetta hardly noticed when he set her on top of the table. At least not until his hands began to move over her body and she realized he was no longer holding her up. They moved over her back, caressing and massaging and pressing her tighter against his chest, and then slid lower, gliding down and under her bottom to cup and urge her forward on the tabletop as he moved between her legs and ground against her. Gasping at the unfamiliar sensation that sent shooting through her, Jetta clutched at his shoulders and kissed him back with an almost frantic eagerness. She even wrapped her legs around him to pull him tighter as she shifted her own hips, trying to move against him as he was doing with her.
"Husband?"
Jetta cried in protest when he suddenly broke their kiss and pulled back. She then felt a tug and glanced down to see that the overlarge shift no longer covered her breasts, but had been pulled under them. Even as she noted that, he tugged the sleeves down her arm so that the gown felt a pool around her hips, leaving her bare from the waist up. Before she could try to cover herself, Ollie covered one breast with his warm, firm hand and began to knead. With one hand on her breast and the other at her shoulder to support her, he urged her back until Jetta was almost lying on the tabletop. Ollie had leaned forward as he'd eased her down, and the moment he had her at the position he wanted, he claimed one of her breasts, taking almost half of it into his mouth and suckling as he slowly drew back until only the now hard tip remained between his lips. He nipped her lightly then, before turning his attention to the other breast and removing his hand so he could repeat the action. Groaning, Jetta shifted and almost struggled in his arms briefly under the passionate teasing, and then she couldn't take it any more and tangled her hands in his hair to pull his face to hers for another kiss. This time she was the aggressor, thrusting her own tongue forward to duel with his. Jetta even got so bold as to let one hand creep down towards the hardness pressing against her so intimately. The moment she neared it, however, Ollie broke their kiss, dragged a chair over with one foot, and then dropped to sit in it. Jetta stared at him with confusion, unsure what was happening. Was all that lovely passion over? Was she supposed to slip off the table and take the other seat as if nothing had happened?
"Husband!"
she cried with shock when he suddenly caught her by each leg, drew her forward until her bottom was almost off the table, and then ducked his head under the hem of her shift and began to press kisses up along first one thigh and then the other.
Husband, please.
She muttered, unsure herself if she was begging him to stop or to continue. And then he spread her wider and buried his head between her legs, his mouth finding the core of her. Gasping, Jetta did a little hop on the tabletop, her legs closing like a vice around his head, and her hands reaching to clutch at him through the cloth of her shift as his tongue rasped over her most tender skin.
Oh, God!
Jetta cried, her eyes wide open one moment and squeezed shut the next as he did things she never imagined could be done. Things she was also sure shouldn't be done in the eyes of the church. Jetta was aware that he had pushed her legs open again and was holding them that way as he devoured her with his lips, teeth and tongue. But mostly she was aware only of the sensations now ripping through her as Ollie licked, suckled and nipped at her tender flesh, causing such exquisite pleasure. It was a revelation to her, and Jetta could not believe that it was possible to forget something so incredibly powerful as this. Family and loved ones, aye, perhaps they could be lost to memory. But this mad passion, how had she forgotten this? How had she not begged for it the moment she opened her eyes? Dear God, it felt as if he were drawing her very soul out of her. Her entire body was taut as a bow and quivering with the need he was producing in her. She was panting for breath, her heart thudding wildly. Jetta felt as if she might lose her mind if he continued, but was sure she would surely die if he stopped. And then something shattered within her. Some fine string that he was pulling just snapped under the strain, and pleasure exploded within her, drawing a scream from her lips and making her body convulse as she was overwhelmed with a sweet release. When Jetta regained some small semblance of herself and opened her eyes, she was no longer on the tabletop. She was again in Ollie's arms, and he was carrying her to the bed. In fact, they'd reached it, she realized when he stopped and bent to lay her in it. Jetta immediately slid her arms around his neck, pulling on him and urging him to kiss her when he would have straightened. Ollie hesitated, but then pressed a quick kiss to her lips, even as he caught her hands and said, "Someone is at the door." As if to prove his words, a loud knock sounded at the door then. Knowing it probably wasn't the first round of knocking, and that she had simply been too overwhelmed by her release to hear the first, Jetta reluctantly lay back on the bed and allowed him to disentangle himself and straighten.
"'Tis probably Mavis with the soup I sent for," he said with a smile, and then squeezed her hands before releasing them and turning to head for the door. Jetta closed her eyes and listened drowsily as Ollie answered the door and began to speak with who she was sure was Rory. At least it sounded to her like it was Rory's voice she was hearing. She couldn't make out what was being said, but the younger man seemed agitated, she thought with a complete lack of curiosity, just before sleep pulled her down into its gentle folds. Chapter 4.
"What the devil are you doing to the poor lass? I heard her screaming all the way out at the well."
Holly scowled at Rory and stepped into the hall to pull the door closed so that Jetta wouldn't hear. As he shut it, he wondered, though, if Mavis too had heard Jetta's passionate cries. The lass was a very vocal lover, which he'd found vastly satisfying at the time, but now realized could be something of a problem. "Thank God Mavis didn't hear," Rory said now, answering that question. "At least I didn't think so. She's out hunting up wild herbs and spices to cook with, and said she would bring up the soup once I'd watered it down a bit with water from the well. Which is fortunate," he assured him. "Had she been here, she probably would have rushed into the room to stop you from killing the poor lass. What the devil was going on? Is she having nightmares?"
Ollie raised his eyebrows at that and then shook his head with disgust. The very fact that you'd ask that tells me you really need to set your medicinal studies aside once in a while and visit the local light scout, brother. Rory stiffened at the words, and then narrowed his eyes.
Ollie, you did know.
Nay. He interrupted firmly and shifted to ease his discomfort, as he added, I just distracted her. That wasn't strictly true, of course, he admitted to himself. He'd originally intended to distract her by moving her to the table and making her eat, but when she'd said she found him attractive and enjoyed the idea of his having his way with her, Ollie had been... Well, frankly, he'd been shocked, amazed and so damned happy and turned on he'd wanted to...
Ollie!
Rory snapped. And if he was to judge by the level of irritation in his brother's tone, not for the first time.
When I said distractor, I did not mean that you should make free with her virtue. I...
Her virtue is intact. Ollie interrupted stiffly, and then spotted Mavis coming up the hall behind Rory and gave him a warning look before nodding at the woman and saying, You're back.
Aye, she smiled. I found what I needed pretty quick. I think there must have been a garden near here at one time. I found a variety of herbs and spices nearby.
That's helpful, Ollie murmured.
Aye.
Mavis smiled and then glanced at Rory and smiled at him as well.
Thank you for adding the water. The soup was already bubbling again when I came back in.
Ollie's eyebrows rose at the guilt-stricken expression that now claimed Rory's face. Obviously, he hadn't added the water in the end. No doubt Jetta's screams had distracted him from his purpose. To keep the maid from noticing his brother's reaction, Ollie said,
Thank you, Mavis. The lass is too thin and needs to eat as much and as often as she can to regain her strength.
Aye, she is frightfully skinny.
The woman agreed solemnly as she reached them and Ollie took the tray.
I'll have a try at making some of those sweet pastries Cook is always making at the castle. Everyone loves those, and they'll help put some weight on the girl.
Good idea,
Ollie said with approval as she turned and headed back the way she'd come. Once she had reached the stairs and was again out of earshot, Ollie shifted his gaze back to his brother. Noting the anger still burning in the younger man's eyes, he said,
Her virtue is still intact. She is under my care and protection. I would not betray her trust by taking advantage.
Rory arched one eyebrow, grimly. She thinks you're her husband, Ollie. Do you think she'd let her kiss you, or anything else, if she knew you were no married? Even kissing her is betraying her trust in the situation. At least it is until you tell her the truth.
You're the one who told me not to tell her the truth,
he pointed out with irritation.
You said it might set back her recovery.
I did, he agreed, and I still believe that. Head wounds are a tricky business, and until she is fully recovered, I think she needs to rest as much as possible, feel as safe and comfortable as possible, and avoid excitement of any kind.
Christ. Ollie muttered through clenched teeth, and then took a calming breath and said,
Fine. I'll no get her excited in any way.
Rory nodded with satisfaction.
Good.
Shaking his head, Ollie started to turn back toward the door.
Oh, I almost forgot.
What?
Ollie asked impatiently, pausing. Alec arrived earlier, he announced.
Ollie raised an eyebrow. What did he want?
Just to let you ken that Conran and Geordie set out yesterday to ask about any boats that may have sunk 3 weeks ago.
Conran?
Ollie said with a frown. My message instructed Alec and Jordi to do it.
Aye, but then apparently Conran got thinking on it and felt he and Jordi should do it so Alec could continue on with their plans for him to visit Sid, Rory explained. Mouth twisting, he added. No doubt Conran did not wish to be stuck with that particular chore himself, so took Alec's task so Alec could still head to MacDonald.
Ollie arched his eyebrows at that. Alec planned to visit Sid.
Rory nodded. Aye, the boys were talking after they got the message from you that Jetta had awoken and decided that Alec should visit Sid and see if she had any spare dresses that might fit Jetta. They all felt she might soon want to wear more than Mavis's borrowed shifts and such now that she is awake.
Good God, nay,
Ollie said at once. Nay, Rory asked with surprise.
If Sid finds out about Jetta, she will ride straight here to find out what it's about. That is the last thing we need right now. Tell Alec to go find a cloth merchant instead. Some of them also carry already sewn gowns. But even if he can no find one who carries them, he should buy cloth and we should set several of the women at Buchanan to sewing.
Ah, Rory murmured, suddenly looking down at his feet and appearing uncomfortable in general.
What is it?
Ollie asked, his eyes narrowing. Actually, you misunderstood me. Alec has already been and left here. He's on his way to Sid's as we speak.
What?
Ollie growled the word. Aye, Rory said apologetically. He arrived just after we returned from hunting, and you came back upstairs to break your fast with Jetta.
And you're only telling me this now, he snapped.
Rory shrugged. I forgot.
God's teeth, Rory. Sid'll be headed here by dawn, Ollie said with exasperation.
Maybe no, Rory said. Mayhap you'll be lucky, and when Alec gets to MacDonald, it will only be to learn that Sid is off visiting Edith, or Maureen, or Joe.
When have I ever been that lucky? Ollie asked with disgust.
Rory said, and then grinned. You're right, she'll be here by dawn.
Cursing, Ollie turned away and nudged the door open. He then stepped into the room and used one foot to push the door closed on his brother's laughing face. Bastard,
he muttered to himself as he started toward the bed. His footsteps slowed, though, and he then stopped and grimaced at the tray he held when Ollie realized that Jetta was sound asleep and snoring softly. Jetta wrinkled her itchy nose and reached up sleepily to scratch it, managing to poke herself in the eye instead. Fortunately, it was closed, but the action brought it open, and she peered blearily around at the dim room and then glanced to the window to see the weak pre-dawn light slipping around the shutters. It was early yet, she saw, and closed her eyes, intending to go back to sleep. But a soft snore made them pop open again, and she sat up to peer down at the floor beside the bed. A smile curved Jetta's lips when she spotted her husband there, still sound asleep. The man had been up and out of the room every morning since their tryst on the table 9 long days ago. Mavis had been the first face she'd seen this last week in 2 days, when she'd arrived to help her with her morning ablutions. Ollie had only rejoined her once she was up and seated at the table, ready to break her fast. Aside from his no longer being there when she woke up, another change was that he hadn't kissed her, even once, since then, or done any of those other delicious things that had given her such pleasure. Her smile faded at the thought. Jetta had no idea what had happened. Was he angry with her? Did he not find her attractive anymore? Her hand moved self-consciously to the bald spot on the back of her head.
It seemed they'd shaved away the hair there to tend to her wounds. Those were healed now, but the hair hadn't grown back more than an inch or so, and it felt strange when she touched it. It probably looked strange, too, Jetta thought with a frown. Still, she'd had that hair missing since before waking, and it hadn't seemed to stop him from kissing her and, stuff on the table then. Jetta had no idea why he hadn't touched her since, but was beginning to worry about what that might mean for her marriage. Not that he wasn't still kind and attentive. Ollie spent all of his time with her, once Mavis had helped her with her ablutions and such, and left the room. He returned then and played chess and other games with her, or told her tales about his brothers and sisters growing up. He also took every meal with her and was constantly fetching sweets and other snacks for her, in an effort to make her eat more. In truth, Jetta didn't think she could ask for a better husband. He was most kind and attentive. It was just his refusal to kiss and touch her that was different, and she found it worrisome. Jetta didn't think she could bear living with him for the rest of her life if she never again got to enjoy the pleasure he'd shown her. In fact, she now found she craved it, constantly. If his hand brushed hers, or his arm, or he even looked at her lips, her heart tripped and started pounding with excitement and anticipation. And all she had to do was look at him, and she wanted him to kiss her or touch her. But he didn't. And she was hurt and confused by the fact that he no longer seemed to want to. Jetta peered at him silently, trying to sort out why, and suddenly realized that while he had shown her great pleasure that time at the table, and even the time before, she had done little but moan and groan and cry out in response. She'd barely even kissed him back properly, let alone touch him in return. Not only had that been incredibly selfish, but it may have made him think she did not wish him to do the things he'd done to her. She needed to let him know that she did enjoy and desire his attentions that way. And the best way she could think of to do that was to show him. Letting out the little breath she'd been holding, Jetta straightened her shoulders and slid her feet to the floor, only to pause and simply sit on the bed contemplating her husband. He was lying on his side, cocooned in his plaid, which might be a problem. She would surely wake him up did she try to unwrap him, and Jetta suspected that if he woke up before she at least did something to rouse his interest, he would bring an end to her efforts before they had even started. Biting her lip, she considered him briefly, and then smiled and turned to pull the largest fur off the bed and into her lap. Grasping it firmly in hand, she then stood and let it drop to the floor between her and her husband, before gently and carefully laying it over him. Straightening then, she backed up and sat on the edge of the bed, to wait. It seemed to take forever. And Jetta was beginning to fear that it wouldn't work, and then he murmured sleepily and shifted onto his back, pushing the furs and plaid restlessly away from his overheated body. Jetta almost leapt to her feet and clapped and squealed over the fact that her plan had worked, but she managed to restrain herself, and then she lost the urge as she took in what her actions had revealed. Ollie hadn't just pushed away the fur, he'd pushed off the plaid, too. He was now covered only by a linen shirt that was presently tangled around his stomach, leaving him completely on display from the waist down. Jetta had thought she'd known what to expect. She instinctively knew she'd seen naked babies, both male and female. But the little jigglies she'd seen on baby boys bore no resemblance to the monster sleeping in its nest of curls that she was presently staring at. And she had absolutely no recollection of seeing that before.
Good Lord! What was she supposed to do with it? The question echoed in her head briefly. Unfortunately, no answer came to her mind, and Jetta actually considered laying back on the bed and pretending to sleep until he woke up and left the room. But then, she steeled herself and shook her head. If she wished to enjoy the pleasure he showed her, it did seem she should show him some too. Besides, she would just do to him what he had done to her. That should work, shouldn't it? Grimacing, Jetta slid off the bed to kneel beside him and glance nervously from his sleeping member to his sleeping face, and back as she tried to figure out how to start. Ollie had begun by kissing his way up her thighs, and then, well, she wasn't quite sure what he'd done once he'd reached the spot between her legs. She'd felt sure he'd licked and nibbled, and, well, frankly, she'd been so excited and wound up. She'd concentrated on the sensations he was causing rather than what exactly he was doing. So, kissing, nibbling, and licking it would be, Jetta thought. That was what she would do. How hard could it be? Kneeling next to him, she pressed a kiss to the skin just inside one of his knees, and then the other, and then a little higher on each leg, and then a little higher still. And then she raised her head and blinked, as she noted that the sleeping monster had woken and was slowly stretching. She bit her lip briefly, but then straightened her shoulders again and began to press kisses along the length of the monster itself. Her eyes widening as it grew longer and began to stand under her attention. It was becoming quite impressive by the time she kissed the tip. But when she experimentally closed her mouth around it, Jetta learned just how hard it could be, as it swelled even more and pushed against the back of her throat. Eyes widening, Jetta clasped her hand around the basin and withdrew her lips somewhat until a more comfortable amount remained inside, and was startled when the action drew a long moan from her husband. Glancing to him sharply, she saw with relief that he was still sleeping, but his expression was almost pained, and his head and hands were shifting restlessly. So were his legs, she noted as they moved too. Encouraged by this clue that she might be doing something right, Jetta eased more of him into her mouth before pulling back again, and smiled with satisfaction around the monster when Ollie groaned what sounded like her name. That had to be a good sign. Certainly it would have been distressing had he groaned another woman's name, she thought, and decided to step up her game. Letting him slide from her mouth, Jetta used her hold to shift the member so that it was positioned like a cob of corn before her mouth. She then began to press little nibbling kisses along its length. Much to her disappointment, however, that didn't seem to work as well. At least her husband didn't moan again under the attention. Frowning, she pulled his erection upright and tried sliding her mouth over the tip once more, relieved when it brought another one of his deep, hungry groans. All right, then. This was what he liked best. Good. She could do this, she thought, sliding her mouth up and down the tip in long, slow strokes. Jetta was concentrating so hard on what she was doing that when Ollie suddenly growled her name and tangled his hand in her hair, she gave a start and unintentionally bit down. Realizing what she'd done when he suddenly roared in pain, Jetta released him at once and leapt back to peer at him, wide-eyed.
"Oh, husband, I am sorry,"
she cried anxiously as he curled into a fetal position with his hands covering his maltreated organ. His roar turned into a long string of curses.
"Truly, you just startled me. Please, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to bite you. Did I hurt you?"
"Oh, God," He groaned, his face pressed into the pallet of furs.
I mean, I know I hurt you,
she said quickly.
But did I break the skin? Or...
Pausing, she bit her lip and peered at where his hands and upper legs now hid him from her view.
Mayhap you should let me look and see how much damage was done.
Nay, Ollie growled, the word muffled by the furs he was pressing his face into.
But...
Get into bed, wife,
he said, and even lifted his head to say it. His voice was as hard as stone, she noted, and stared at him helplessly for a moment, but then climbed dejectedly back into bed and crawled under the linen. She had thoroughly messed that up, Jetta acknowledged to herself. He would never want to touch her again, now. She would spend the rest of her life in a marriage where her husband was kind and gentle with her, but would not share his passion. And she didn't know why. Jetta sniffled as tears began pooling in her eyes and spilling over to run down the sides of her face and into her hair. The worst part was that she had almost the perfect marriage. She might not have a lot of memories, but she knew in her heart that few women were lucky enough to have a husband as wonderful and considerate as Ollie. She knew without a doubt that he was much more attentive and sweet than most men. And if she had just been able to sort out this business of why he wasn't bedding her, her marriage would have been as close to perfect as she thought was possible. But she'd failed, Jetta acknowledged, snuffling as the tears began to pour out of her eyes in earnest. She'd failed and would never again know the pleasure of his sweet lips on hers, and his hand and mouth on her body and whatever else it was happy couples did in the bedroom. This time a soft hiccuping sob followed the thought, and Jetta squeezed her eyes closed with misery.
Jetta, what's the matter? Why are you crying?
Blinking her eyes open, she stared in surprise at Ollie as she saw that he was off the floor and now bent over the bed, eyeing her with concern. She'd hurt him and he was worried about her. He was so sweet, she thought. And cried all the harder.
Jetta?
Ollie sounded alarmed now as he sat on the bed beside her and scooped her up into his lap. Pressing her to his chest, he rubbed her back and asked,
What is it, lass? Did I hurt you when you bit me?
Jetta blinked her eyes open at the ridiculous question, and then released a small watery laugh and shook her head.
Nay, of course not. I really did not mean to bite you, husband.
Aye,
he said on what sounded like a relieved sigh.
I can.
I am so sorry.
I can, yar,
he murmured, rubbing little circles on her back.
'Twas an accident.
Aye, and now I have ruined everything.
She said unhappily and felt his hand pause.
What have you ruined, lass? What were you trying to do, exactly?
He asked, and Jetta could hear the frown in his voice now.
I was trying to please you,
she admitted shyly.
I thought mayhap you have not kissed or touched me again because you thought I did not want it, because when you... did what you did. I just lay there like a dead fish, and I wanted to show you.
You did not lie there like a dead fish,
Ollie interrupted, sounding amused.
You responded as passionately as any man could wish.
I did?
She asked, pulling back to peer at him with surprise. He nodded solemnly.
Then... did I do something to anger you?
Jetta asked with a frown. His eyebrows rose at the question.
Nay, what would make you think that?
Because you have not kissed nor touched me again since then. I thought either you believed I did not want you, or that I had somehow angered you, or that you simply tired of me and did not want me any more because of my shorn head and my being too thin.
Oh, lass,
Holly said softly, cupping her cheek with his hand. You've no angered me, and I'm definitely no tired of you. In fact, nothing could be further from the truth. Every minute I'm with you, I have to fight not to kiss and touch you, he admitted, his eyes dropping to her mouth and his face moving closer.
Truly?
Jetta whispered uncertainly.
Aye, truly. All I think of all the day long is kissing you senseless, stripping your shirt off so that I can look at all of you without it in the way, and then cupping and caressing your beautiful breasts before claiming them with my mouth and suckling at them until you groan my name with need.
Oh.
Jetta breathed weakly, her body tingling at the thought.
I want you, lass,
Holly admitted on a growl, although he really needn't bother saying it now. She could feel that he wanted her. He was presently hard and pressing against her bottom where she sat in his lap.
I truly do. I've never wanted anyone so much in my life. All I can think about is laying you across the bed, spreading your legs and tasting your sweet passion again until you scream, and then driving myself into you, and...
His words died when she suddenly leaned up and kissed him. Jetta hadn't been able to take it anymore. His words and the pictures they were creating in her mind had her body tingling and wet, and she wanted what he was describing. She wanted more. She wanted to make him groan again as she had with her mouth. She wanted his body naked and covering hers everywhere. She wanted. Well, she wanted it all. And she put all of that want into her kiss. This time she was the one urging his lips open and sliding her tongue into his mouth. And this time it was her hands moving over his body, caressing his arms and chest and then reaching around and down to cup his bottom. Holly had frozen the moment she kissed him. But when she squeezed his behind and rubbed her chest against his, he was suddenly all passion and motion. His tongue thrust forward to tangle with hers, and his hands made short work of tugging her shift down and claiming her breasts. Jetta moaned as he kneaded them and then plucked at her nipples. She then gasped in surprise when she found herself suddenly on her back on the bed with him over her. Tearing his mouth from hers, Holly pressed kisses along her cheek to her ear and growled,
"Spread your legs."
Jetta obeyed at once, and then groaned when he lowered himself to rest against her and ground into her very core with only the thin cloth of the shift between them. Holly groaned too, and then his mouth was on hers again, his kiss a fiercely demanding one as he ground his hips into her again. A sound much like a sob came from her throat then, and Jetta shifted restlessly and then wrapped her legs around his hips, urging him on. The move shifted the cloth between them, and when he next ground against her, she felt his flesh against hers. He was hard and hot, and the feel of him sliding against her slick heat made her moan into his mouth and tighten her fingers on his arms where she was now clutching him. But it made Ollie freeze again. Afraid he was going to stop, Jetta tore her mouth from his and cried,
"Husband, please!"
Rather than urge him to continue, the words made him close his eyes and lean his forehead on hers.
"Lass, you're killing me."
Jetta stilled now too and frowned with confusion.
"I do not understand. Why are you stopping?"
"Why, indeed,"
Holly muttered, sounding bitter, and then said almost wearily,
"We can no do this, lass."
"But I want to,"
she said, bewildered by his refusal.
"And we are married. I..."
Her words died, and they both glanced sharply toward the door when it opened. Rory started into the room, paused abruptly as he took in their position, and then turned a sharp, angry look on Ollie and snapped, "A word, brother!" before turning away and stepping out of the room. He pulled the door closed silently behind him.
Well, hell, Holly muttered, rolling off her and flopping onto his back on the bed. Jetta hesitated and then sat up and tugged her shift down to cover herself before pulling it back onto her arms. Once she was decently covered, she looked uncertainly to Ollie.
Your brother seemed...
angry, Ollie suggested when she hesitated to say it.
Aye,
she admitted, and then cleared her throat and asked,
do you know why?
Oh, I ken why, he assured her dryly. He's upset at me for what we were doing. Jetta frowned.
Well, that is just ridiculous. We are husband and wife. Besides, we should be angry at him for entering without knocking.
Ollie was silent for a minute and then sat up and slid his feet to the floor. Standing up then, he knelt to begin pleating his plaid and murmured, I should not have been kissing and caressing you, or anything else.
Why?
She asked with dismay. They were husband and wife, and she likes it. She wanted him to do it again, and more.
We are married. Bedding is part of that, and if we want to, we can. Well, at least I want to,
she added uncertainly. Lass, I want to as well, he assured her, raising his head to eye her solemnly. Surely ye ken that. Her gaze dropped to his still very erect member, and she blushed and nodded. But the fact is, you do not know everything, he said solemnly.
What do I not know?
Jetta asked with a frown. Ollie hesitated long enough that he was finished with his pleating before he said, he warned me not to excite you until you've recovered. He fears it can hamper and even set back your healing. Eyes widening, Jetta watched him don his plaid and asked,
is that why you have not touched or kissed me since...
Her question died when he stood and then bent and pressed a quick, hard kiss to her lips. Straightening, then, he strode to the door, saying, I will send Mavis to ye. Jetta watched him go with a sigh, disappointed that the passionate interlude was over. Chapter 5.
If you can no control yourself, I will have to insist you avoid spending time alone with the lass. Rory snapped the minute Ollie stepped out into the hall and pulled the door closed again. She is my patient, Ollie.
I can't control myself, Ollie snapped, cutting him off. I was controlling myself. I've not even kissed the lass since he warned me not to more than a week ago, but this morning she...
He cut himself off abruptly, unwilling to tell his brother that he'd woken up to find Jetta kneeling next to him with his cock in her mouth.
God's teeth. Just the thought of it made Ollie hard as a rock. He still couldn't believe she'd done that.
Well, he could, since she'd explained why she'd done it, but no, he couldn't believe it.
It had certainly been a lovely way to start the day, right up until she'd chomped down on him like he was a tasty side of beef. The memory made him wince. He'd only been half awake at that point, awash in the pleasure she was giving him. He'd been swimming toward full consciousness, and then, pow! He was wide awake and howling, and the pleasure wasn't even a memory, but had been pushed out by the pain. Sighing, he glanced at his brother and said,
she was hurt that I'd not kissed her again and thought it meant I no longer found her attractive, so tried to rouse my interest.
And obviously succeeded, Rory said grimly.
But I only kissed her. I did not take her innocence, her virtue is still intact. And after you left, I explained that you did not think it was a good thing for her to get excited until she'd healed. So, all is well.
She'll no do that again, and I will continue to control myself. Rory eyed him solemnly for a minute, and then sighed and nodded. Very well. But I will warn you one last time, brother. If you take her innocence, you will have to marry her. Ollie scowled at him with irritation.
Brother, I understand you're only looking out for the lass, but I am the eldest brother. I'm Laird at Buchanan, and you can no make me do anything I dinna wish to do.
Mouth tight, he added, and I'll no let ye force her into doing anything she does not wish to do either. He fell silent for a moment, allowing that to sink in, and then asked,
Now why did you come to the room? Is something amiss?
Rory grimaced, and then admitted, Nay, well, I thought I heard you shout and howl. 'Tis what woke me. So I came to be sure all was well. Now it was Ollie's turn to grimace. He could hardly tell Rory what had happened. So he continued to remain silent, searching his mind for some excuse for his shout and howl that didn't involve Jetta, her teeth, and his cock. It was probably just a dream I had, Rory offered suddenly.
Aye, he said at once with relief. A dream.
Nodding, Rory turned toward the stairs, but as he walked away, he added, Odd Mavis had the same dream wake her up, though. Ollie closed his eyes on a sigh. Really, he should have put more care into building this place. Sound carried as if the walls were parchment thin. However, he hadn't considered sound an issue when he'd set the men to building it. There had been no women in his life then. And in truth, he hadn't expected there ever to be, or considered the sound issues a woman's presence might cause. I'll send Mavis up to help Jetta with her ablutions. Ollie opened his eyes in time to see his brother jog lightly down the steps and then turn to re-enter the bedchamber. He stepped inside and closed the door and then paused when he saw that the bed was empty. Blinking in surprise, he glanced swiftly around the room, finding Jetta at the window. She'd pulled the shutters open, and was leaning out to peer at the clearing around the lodge in the dawning light.
"Careful, lass," he said, moving quickly to her side. "We would not want you falling out the window."
The caution made her chuckle softly.
"I will not fall out, husband. I just... The fresh air is so lovely, and I wanted to see something besides this room."
Ollie frowned slightly and peered out at the trees surrounding the lodge. It was a lovely sight, the tall, strong trees waving in a light breeze, the sound of birds chirping, the grass as green and bright as Jetta's eyes. He himself had spent most of the last more than 4 weeks now in this room watching over Jetta, but had made the occasional excursion outside. He had returned to Buchanan a handful of times to handle castle business, too, but they had been short trips before she'd woken. Since Jetta had regained consciousness, he hadn't left the lodge, although he had gone outside early in the mornings while Mavis had helped her with her ablutions, often hunting up some game for their meals or riding to a nearby loch for a morning dip to clean up. The ocean was closer than the loch, but the fresh water was better for his purposes than the salt water the ocean offered. Besides, Ollie had enjoyed the brisk ride in the morning air after the hours inside. Jetta, however, hadn't been out of this room at all. A change of scenery in the fresh air might do her a world of good, he thought suddenly.
If you're feeling up to it, mayhap we could go for a short walk, or a ride today, he said impulsively. Mayhap we could even ride out and break our fast by the ocean.
Really?
She turned a face full of excitement to him, her eyes wide and happy.
Aye,
Ollie said, smiling at her expression, and then he frowned, and added,
Well, if Rory says 'tis all right,
I would no wish to do anything to set back your healing.
Oh, aye.
Jetta said, her smile fading and worry taking its place now.
Do you think he will allow it?
Holly opened his mouth to answer, but then paused and glanced at the door as a soft knock preceded Mavis entering. He nodded in greeting to the woman and then turned back to Jetta and took her arm to urge her away from the window.
I'll ask him while Mavis attends you,
he promised, and, noting the way she was now worrying her lip with her teeth, added,
I'm sure he'll think it's a fine idea.
Absolutely not! Ollie rolled his eyes at Rory's firm words and said,
But she's been cooped up in the room upstairs for weeks now. Surely some fresh air will only do her good.
She has been unconscious most of that time, Rory pointed out with a scowl. The lass only woke up a little more than a week and a half ago. She's been very ill, Ollie. And she still is ill.
Not really, Ollie argued. I mean, I ken she has no memory ere waking here, but otherwise she's fine. There's no fever, no open wound. The back of her head is mostly healed, and while she is weak still, she grows stronger every day. She has even put some weight back on.
Not nearly enough, Rory said at once. The lass is still far too thin and frail. She needs to build more strength before we risk outings.
She is hardly going to gain strength lounging about in a bed, Ollie pointed out with exasperation. She needs to be up and about.
Rory was silent for a moment, and Ollie could tell by his expression that he was considering it. So said,
A compromise, then. A picnic by the ocean. She will need only walk below and to the horse, and then from the horse to a blanket on the beach and back. That way she can get fresh air, a very little bit of exercise, and the sight of the ocean might even spark a memory for her. Perhaps she'll recall the ship she was on, and it's sinking.
Rory eyed him curiously. You want her to remember she is no your wife. Ollie hesitated, his mind torn on the subject. Part of him wanted her to remember everything. The part that found hope in her response to his kisses and in her admission that she was attracted to him. That part wanted her to know they weren't really married so that he could ask her to marry him for real. Because that part was daring to hope that she might agree. And that he could have the wife and children that he'd always taken for granted that he would have before he'd taken the injury to his face. But another part, the one that still aches from his fiancée's rejection as well as the horrified response of others to his battered face, that part would rather she never know. It would rather they continue in this limbo of being married, but not married. Of having her but not being able to have her. That part feared she would be relieved by the news that they were not man and wife, and would admit she'd just been making the best of a bad situation, but would be happy to escape having to look at him every day. In truth, he'd rather have this strange half-relationship than risk losing her altogether. But what he said in the end was,
The sooner she remembers who she is, the better able we will be to keep her safe from whatever threat she was afraid of before she lost her memory.
Rory stared at him hard for so long that Ollie suspected his brother knew about his other hopes and fears. But finally he said, Very well. We will take her to the beach to break her fast.
Good.
Ollie said with a grin, not even minding that Rory would accompany them. In truth, he knew that it was probably for the best. It would make it easier for him to behave himself, which was becoming harder to do all the time. This morning's antics certainly weren't helping him any. He couldn't get the image of waking up to find Jetta taking him into her mouth out of his mind. And even the pain that had followed was no longer detracting from his body's response to the memory. Nay, it was better they have a chaperone from now on.
"'Tis beautiful,"
Jetta breathed, peering over the windswept beach.
Does it look at all familiar?
Holly asked as he urged his mount down the sloping path to the shore, and regretted it almost at once. If she had seen shore at all from her position on the mast, it would have been from the opposite angle, from the water. Besides, a glance down showed her frowning as she now tried to find some memory of the beach.
Do not try to force the memories, lass. Just relax and let whatever comes, come.
Aye, she said on a sigh. Ollie hesitated and then asked,
Were you saying aye to...
To just relaxing and letting the memories come?
Jetta said on a laugh, and then added apologetically,
I do not recognize anything.
Tis fine, Ollie assured her,
and then looked over his shoulder towards Rory, who was following them on his own mount.
I thought close to shore might be nice. We can walk a little way along the beach in the surf after we eat. 'Twill be easier than trying to walk in the dry sand.
Aye, Rory agreed easily, and followed when they reached the sand and Ollie urged his horse towards shore. He stopped a good 10 feet short of the surf. While it would be easier to walk in the wet sand than the dry, he didn't want a picnic on it. Ollie lifted Jetta from where she sat before him on the mount and leaned to set her on her feet in the sand. He then quickly dismounted himself. Noting the way Jetta was self-consciously plucking at the plaid she wore over her borrowed shift, he smiled and assured her.
You look fine, lass.
Jetta peered down at herself with a slight grimace, but nodded, and he felt bad that he hadn't had a dress to offer her. This was the best he could come up with, pleating a spare plaid he had and fashioning a sort of overdress for her to wear with the somewhat indecent shift. She was swimming in cloth, but decently covered, at least. Still, Ollie decided he really needed to arrange for clothing for her if they were going to start leaving the lodge more often. Besides, he had to return to Buchanan soon. While he knew that between his uncle and his brothers, the keep and its people were in good hands, he still felt guilty for not being there himself. He was the laird, after all, and should be tending to his people, not delegating it to others. The worry over clothing for Jetta made him wonder about Alec and what was taking him so long. He should have been back with any gowns Sade might have been able to loan them by now, if not with his sister herself. Hell, he expected Geordie and Conran to return with their report any time, and they'd had to ride both up and down the coast, stopping at every port as far away as England in the south and all the way up the Scottish coast to the north. This should be good. Ollie glanced around to see Rory unfolding and shaking out a plaid to lay it on the sand.
Oh, lovely. I am starving,
Jetta said, moving toward the picnic spot Rory had chosen. Well, seat yourself then, lass, Rory said lightly. Mavis packed this basket full. She sent some lovely pastries, some fruit, some cheese, some boiled eggs, and even some meat.
Goodness, she must have thought she was feeding an army,
Jetta said, settling on the plaid and watching wide-eyed as Rory began pulling out the offerings. Turning to grin at Ollie then, she added mischievously,
That, or two Buchanan brothers?
Har, har,
Ollie said dryly as he settled next to her on the plaid. But he couldn't hold back the grin her teasing caused. Catching Rory's confused expression, Ollie explained,
She thinks I have an exceptionally large appetite.
Ah, Rory said, and then smiled at Jetta and told her with certainty. He doesna. Dougal eats more than him, and our youngest brother Alec eats more than he and Dougal combined.
Nay, Jetta cried with disbelief. 'Tis impossible that anyone could eat twice what Ollie does.
Men eat more than women, Ollie said with amusement. Surely you ken that from your father.
Nay, my father never ate like you do. He preferred his drink.
she assured him. Ollie stilled at the word just a heartbeat before she gasped and cried,
"Oh, I remember my father preferred drink to food."
Exchanging a glance with Rory, Ollie reached out